Good afternoon. Welcome back. Good to see everyone's faces again. Hope you had a good lunch and nice, enjoyable afternoon out here that's not near as hot as it has been this last week. So even though standing in the sun is a little warm, it's still more bearable. So this morning we talked about Zacchaeus and the hope that was within him to find something that he was missing. This afternoon we're going to talk about David and how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In the class in the back that I'm teaching there, classroom three, our book is about Saul and David. And as we go through there, we're noticing there's a lot of things that David did right. Such a wonderful example that we would have to follow, even in some of his worst times. It's amazing his attitude that he had. But what's the first things that we do in time of trouble? We all have problems from time to time. I don't think anybody here can say that they have a perfect life or there's never been a situation that they weren't sure what to do or how to respond to. How do we try to solve these problems? Who do we look to? What do we do to address it? What is the best way? So one person we're going to look at here is King David and how he was able to overcome some of his problems that he encountered. He was pursued by King Saul multiple times, relentlessly at times. That's where we're about at in the classroom back there is chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. And Saul has tried to kill David twice now by throwing a spear at him and just right there in his company. And he's been able to elude Saul in his attempt. And the way he handled both of those situations when he had an opportunity to retaliate is such an amazing thing. But we're going to be looking in there around chapter 30. But some other things that Saul or David had experienced, he barely escaped some of these assassination attempts, barely. He spent a lot of time hiding in the wilderness, wasn't free to just be out and about. His entire family was kidnapped on one occasion. His friends turned him in and were ready to kill him. On another instance, he had suffered the shame of committing adultery and murder. His son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. His other son Absalom murdered Amnon. Absalom led a revolt against his father. And Absalom himself was killed, much to David's grief. But we see here David's life wasn't perfect. Not at all. And we all can probably say we have some things that may not be this bad, but there are some things in our lives that aren't perfect either. But I don't think we need any more examples of David and how he had problems. So we can all understand that. Yet somehow, he survived all of them. He was successful in overcoming a lot of these situations, or all these situations, to the point that he is remembered as a man after God's own heart. That says something about David. Many opportunities to give up, many opportunities to retaliate, and yet he is remembered after a man by the phrase "a man after God's own heart." How was he able to do this? How was David able to get to this point? That's what we're going to look at. We can find these answers by looking at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 1 through 6. So just a quick context of what this is. David was having a life in Ziklag, if I pronounce that correctly. And having fled from King Saul, he had now aligned with the Philistines. And the Philistines were preparing for battle against King Saul, but they didn't quite trust David yet or his men, so they sent him back. sent him back to Ziklag. They didn't quite place their trust in David. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The town of Ziklag had been attacked and burned by the Amalekites. So when David gets there, there's nothing left. The women and children, we see there in verses 2 through 5, being kidnapped, including those of his own family. David's family was gone. Naturally, David's probably a little sad. He's distressed. But on top of this, the people now are ready to kill him. He wasn't there for them. They're blaming David. Excuse me. They're blaming David for not being there to protect them. And now they're ready to kill David because of losing their family members, losing their town. But notice carefully there what verse 6 said. What does David do when he has lost his family and his own life was threatened? Verse 6 says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons, every man for his sons and his daughters. The last sentence there is what we want to focus on. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This is the first thing David did. Do you think David had on his mind, where'd my family go? How am I going to get them back? I'm sure he was thinking of his family. But did he say, okay, instead of you guys trying to kill me, let's all get together and let's go get them back? Not the first thing. He strengthened himself in the Lord. With the strength he received, he's able to deal with whatever problem that he has been dealt. But what does it mean to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? What does that mean? Well, to help us answer that, we're going to look at some things that David did in his times of trouble. He often composed psalms. Turn with me over to Psalm 59. Psalm number 59. We see here David, when he got into trouble or was at some of his lowest points, he turned to compose these psalms. So while pursued by Saul, he wrote Psalm 59. Looking here at just the first four verses. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold. David, when being pursued for his life, strengthened himself in the Lord by composing these psalms. Turn back to Psalm 56. When he was imprisoned in Gath, he wrote Psalm 56. We'll just look at the first couple of verses there of Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Here he's in prison. They're persecuting him, and he's writing psalms and thinking of God and asking God for help. Turn all the way back to the beginning of Psalms. They're in Psalm chapter 3, or the third psalm. Fleeing from Absalom, he writes, here, we're going to look at the first couple of verses. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. He's still being pursued, and he's still putting God first. He's still asking God for help. And one last one for this area, Psalm 63. We see here where he's hiding in the wilderness of Judah. And he writes this one, Psalm 63. I'm going to read this whole psalm. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. David had all the faith in the world that God was with him. Never a doubt. And he turns to him in these times of trouble. From these psalms, we see how David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Psalm 56, we learned that David would place his trust in God to help him. In Psalm 59, we see here that David was determined to continue praising God for his help. Psalm 63, David overcame his problem of loneliness by what? Seeking the Lord. And that was in the first two verses of Psalm 63. Praising and praying, if we continued, that's in verses 3 through 5, and meditating upon the Lord in verses 6 through 7. In each of these psalms, David says one thing, basically one thing. In a time of trouble, put your trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Stay close to him through praising and praying. Stay close to him. Do this, and you will be made strong as the Lord supports you. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Upholds me. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God by turning to him and praying. And this helped him overcome any problem he may have had. So what about us today? What do we do today when we have a situation or a problem? Do we follow David's example? Let's look at a few that we may have. So dealing with problems today ourselves, we do face many problems, even as Christians. We don't have perfect lives, or I don't. I'll speak for myself. There's always something that has to take some extra attention and doesn't go exactly the way I think it should go. And so some problems that we as human beings may face could be family related or other matters of personal concern. Could be jobs, could be finances, could be health, could be all kinds of things that we're going to suffer as human beings up on this earth. So how do we address these issues? How do we fix them? How do we cope with them? In many cases, we try to fix them ourselves, right? We leave God completely out of the picture. It's like, I got this. I can take care of it. I got it. And maybe not entirely on purpose. Maybe it's just it's our nature. We want to fix it. Maybe for the men specifically. We want to feel like we can fix everything. I know I get accused of that all the time. So we think we can do it ourselves. Sometimes we as humans do forsake the Lord and leave him completely out of it. Sometimes. By no longer praising him, praying to him daily, neglecting the assembly where we can edify one another, maybe even going as far as accusing and blaming God for some of our, you know, mishaps. But that shouldn't ever happen. Should never happen. Sometimes we probably, well, a lot of times we probably express this by saying, you know, let me get my life straight, then I'll serve God, then I'll make it back. I'm too busy, I got stuff going on, I can't focus, so when I can focus, I'll come to church. We got it backwards. We've got it backwards. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. When we decide to leave God out of it and we think we can fix it ourselves, Jeremiah 17 lets us know what God thinks about our way of fixing our problems without him. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and assault land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. Jeremiah 5, or 17, verse 5. God wants us to look to him for help. Doesn't want us to leave him behind. Doesn't want us to leave him out. He wants us to come to him. Another good example of God's displeasure when people look or fail to look to him for strength is found in Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. We see here when attacked by Assyria, Israel placed her trust in Egypt, not in God. Isaiah 30 verses 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. What does verse 2 say there? To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. And David's point of view was strengthen himself in the Lord his God. Two totally different approaches, one right, one wrong. Yes, God wanted Israel to trust in him, not themselves. Stay there in Isaiah verse 30, jump up to, or chapter 30, jump up to verse 15. Verses 15 and 16. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. We deny God's help. We won't succeed. We won't succeed. Because of this, God promised that we could frustrate the efforts of Israel to solve her problems by herself. If we look at Isaiah 30 and verse 3, just go back to verse 3 there. It says, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Sometimes we make the wrong choice, and God's going to let us deal with it. That's for us to figure out how to get out of it and how to understand what needs to be done. Look at Isaiah 31, in verses 1 through 3. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They will all perish together. We choose the wrong paths in life, and we will perish. We will perish eternally if we continue in those paths. But even so today, we see that back then, what God was telling these Old Testament figures. But what does he tell us today? Same thing. God wants us to put our trust in him. Turn over to James chapter 4. God wants us to look at him first. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." 1 Peter Sorry, 1 Peter and chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and there verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The truth of the matter is this. It is not God helps those who help themselves, but rather God helps those who trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding. That's Proverbs chapter 3. It's not our way. It's God's way. When we leave God out of the picture in solving problems, one thing is certain. God leaves us to deal with those problems on our own. And quite possibly without his help, should we not ask for it. We learn the hard way. Sometimes as parents, as long as they're not going to get hurt, our children don't agree with what we say, sometimes we let them learn the hard way. It might be something as simple as they're going to eat their last piece of candy and then in an hour they're going to want another one. And so that's a life lesson. Maybe it's a little simple life lesson, but that's a life lesson. Something more serious. If we leave God and walk away from him, we are left to deal with our problems. God also, we see in some examples here with Israel, may frustrate them because of their issues. You know, God caused the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness because they were disobedient and disrespectful and ungrateful. They suffered because of their actions, their decisions. What makes us any different? Nothing. So let us learn one experience in dealing with problems from David, of course. In times of trouble, look to the Lord for your strength, not man, not, I'll say books, but I leave the Bible out of that. You can look to the Bible. Not our own devices. We can't solve everything. We need him. Trust in the Lord. Be steadfast. Praising him. Praying to him. Constantly praying to him. Brother Dan's mentioned several times that, you know, prayer doesn't have to be long and lengthy and doesn't have to be just in church. Going down the road, you can have a prayer to the Lord. Just don't close your eyes. You know, we can pray anytime, anywhere, day or night. So there's no reason to not be doing it. No reason to be not asking for help. Don't forsake him. Don't forsake the assembly. We count on each other. We draw near to him by edifying each other. And that's so important. So important. So looking at Psalms 63:8, we've read this before. Let what David said of himself be true of us also as well. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Let that be what we look to. Let that be what brings us strength, where we look to get our strength. Remember, those who trust in God will find strength, deliverance, and true happiness. All of it. Do you trust in the Lord? Are you putting your trust there? Is that where you get your strength? You get your strength from the Lord, you'll be the strongest person you need to be. May not be the strongest person in the world physically, but you'll be the strongest person you need to be. Let God be your deliverance. Let him guide you. Let him steer you through life. And when I say let him steer you, be the passenger, not the driver. Let him take you where he needs to go, where you need to go. Especially when we have problems. That's when we need him the most. When we sin, that's when we need him the most. Sin separates us from God. And without repentance, without prayer, we stay separated. God will forgive us, but you have to be willing to ask for it. And you have to be willing to change. David's a wonderful example. He was chased by Saul. Had at least two that we've studied so far in the back class, two opportunities to kill Saul. God delivered Saul to him. And the first one, he cuts off a piece of his robe to let him know that he let him go. The second one, he just takes his spear and water jug and then realizes that, lets Saul realize how close he got to him. David didn't want to kill Saul. Saul was God's anointed. He didn't want to kill Saul. And he didn't. He looked to God for his strength, and he had the strength to do the right thing, even when he was being chased. Can we learn that from David? In our worst times, look to God. Get your strength from the Lord our God. David did. Are you ready to accept Jesus as your Savior? Are you ready to get your strength from that opportunity of salvation? Tonight's a night. Today. If you're here and you need to obey through primary obedience, through confession, repentance, and baptism, and you want to take care of that now, we stand ready. Front seat's empty. Not because it has to be, because nobody sits up here, but it's empty. Come up and have a seat. We'll help you from there. If you are a Christian and something has come between you and God, and you can pray to him and take care of that at your seat, now's the time. If you brought reproach upon the church and you need the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that also. So in any case, if we can help in any way, please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.